The way he says so much without saying anything at all is marvelous. They've kind of set the bar as far as comedies go.
And Catching Fire? My God. Do you really want to catch fire? Have you ever tried catching fire? I'm a teenage girl.
We already know that.
All right, welcome to the 11th episode of Too Cool For Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Barola.
Daniel Lee.
He's my co-host.
Yes.
He should have been introduced, actually. You should have waited, dude, like a
second. Okay, let's do it again.
No, we're not doing this again. No, we don't have time.
Lee.
We don't have time to do it again.
I'm Daniel
we just
Lee.
Have time to talk about how you effed it up. All right.
No.
So let's do that instead.
Let's talk about how you effed it up.
I did great.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. We didn't even plan this.
We'll do a poll.
I did great.
We'll do a poll.
Like on our podcast?
No,
because people, this is recorded live, but they don't hear it live.
After we stop recording, we'll do a poll between me and you, and we'll see who effed up.
Democracy in action, guys.
Yeah,
Too Cool For Podcast. Okay, before we begin, we'd like to tell you that we're brought to you by TooCoolForBlog.com.wordpress.com.
Oh yeah,
where you can catch many of Daniel Lee's writings, some of which are good, some of which are lame,
some of which have all of them are good.
Very nerdy content.
Everything is golden.
And nerdy, which we love, That's great.
The whole nation is in this nerd culture craze right now.
Kind of is. That's a whole conversation for another time, though. You can follow us both at
Episode
Twitter.
12.
Follow us both at Twitter. Me at Epic Mess, EPICMESS.
And mine at Zombeef, ZOMBEE_F.
Yeah, follow us. Give us a follow. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, our blog/podcast at TooCoolForTweets.com.
Or it's actually
at TooCoolForTweets.
At TooCoolForBlog.
We're not at TooCoolForTweets anymore?
No, I just changed that for that little part to tweets.
We don't have tweets anymore?
You have to look up at TooCoolForBlog in order to find our Twitter account.
But is our Twitter account at TooCoolForTweets?
No.
So it's at TooCoolForBlog?
Yes.
Because
you could change the name on top of it.
That's not consistent.
You're not consistent.
I don't like that. You shouldn't be acting unilaterally like this, okay? That's good stuff.
No consistency.
That's good stuff.
After 3 days.
Anyway, now that we got these sponsors out of the way, let's get the show moving. Let's break it down. Before I give you our news bits that we have, let's tell you what we got ahead for, in store for today's show. We have some talk. A movie came out this weekend called Warm Bodies. We'll be talking about that. We just saw the third episode of The Following, which aired last night on Fox at 9 o'clock PST. That's Pacific Standard Time.
That's my bedtime.
And lastly, we got some shows coming back this week from their winter hiatus.
Their winter sleep.
Yeah. And the one that we're going to be talking about is The Walking Dead, because we know we have a huge Walking Dead following. By huge, I mean like 10.
That's pretty big.
That's big. We'll be talking about that. Not in depth, but enough to get... I don't know.
I think we should cover every corner.
That's impossible. All right. And as always, we'll have our fabulous Netflix pick of the week. And shout out to Laren, by the way, our producer, who had an amazing song at the intro. And he really did his homework and his work last week. So thanks, Laren.
Thanks.
For yourself a round of applause right here. Okay. Thank you, Laren. All right. So let's get started. They've allotted me about a minute 30 to talk about my passion, which is sports.
Passion fruit.
Yeah. So, Laren, why don't you go ahead and tell me when I started? Tick-tock. The clock. All right. The only sports bit I have for you guys today is that the Super Bowl was on Sunday. You remember that, Daniel?
I remember.
Yeah, we had it here. We watched it here, and it was a very unfavorable outcome for my pocketbook.
Yeah, but it was still a good game.
Not the first half.
But they rallied back after the blackout.
Why? Exactly. That's kind of fishy, right? I mean, other than that, we don't have a game, really.
God was trying to sway it one way.
So, God is a fan of money, of ratings. What is of a good football game?
Yes.
Yeah, that game really hit me out of nowhere because I picked the 49ers to win. Uh-huh. What was it? 34-25 last week? 34-26 last week?
34-31, I think.
No, I didn't pick that. That's the game result.
I picked
the 49ers to win the game, like 35 or 34 to 26.
So technically, I win that bet, right?
3-0? No, you don't.
No, I still picked the winning team.
Because you didn't pick outright. No, you didn't win.
They did win by 3.
Joe Flacco
point deficit
in the playoffs, and he didn't get a bye, by the way. 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Who would have thought that from Joe Flacco of all people? I mean, this guy is not even a top 10 fantasy quarterback, yet all of a sudden he has the, you know, postseason for the ages. However, there is some controversy. I think Jacoby Jones.
Over the holding?
I think Jacoby Jones should have gotten the Super Bowl MVP over the holding for sure. And lastly, that Super Bowl should have been the halftime show for the Beyonce performance, which was unworldly. Okay, she is a goddess. You cannot touch Beyonce. Best performer in the game.
Jay-Z touched
in the world. Period. Can't touch it. My time is done. Time for the news bits from Daniel Lee.
All right.
Let's keep him under 3 minutes, Larry. Don't start until he counts you. Okay. Make sure
time
you.
Time for the best part.
Yeah. Here we go. Go for it. What do you got for us? What happened in the news?
All right. First off, Guardians of the Galaxy, they finally picked a leading man.
I don't know what that is.
For their film. This is the new Marvel film that's coming out next year along with Captain America. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who's the main guy?
Star-Lord.
Never heard of him.
Obviously. Look at you. Anyway, it's Chris Pratt. They chose Chris Pratt to play the lead role for this movie.
Are you serious?
You may know him from Parks and Rec.
That's the only way.
And Moneyball and Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, yeah, he was in Moneyball.
Yeah, and in Zero Dark Thirty, he got really fit for that role too. So, you know, like if he needs to get in shape for this role, you know, he could do that. Also, Star Wars, there are rumors going around. Oh, actually, no. It's been confirmed by Disney that there are going to be standalone movies for that franchise as well. Along with the actual episode installments.
Wait, for like the characters that they have?
Basically
up
like
to?
Spinoffs.
Yeah. Oh.
And then there was a
so
rumored...
Money.
Yes, okay. Basically. There was a rumored Yoda movie being in plans, but...
I don't think I can listen to...
Nobody actually really confirmed
2.5 hours
anything.
Or 3 hours of Yoda talking.
Yeah. It's still unconfirmed, but they were talking about Yoda. Let's see, what else? Oh, the WoW movie is finally moving forward. You may know that as
is
World
it weird
of
that I'm more excited about that than I am for Star Wars?
Oh, you're more of a fantasy guy than sci-fi guy, if I had to pick.
I love sci-fi, but just don't love Star Wars.
That's just a deficiency in you.
That's not, no. Yes. No, sorry.
Yes, we'll make a poll.
I'm not defective.
We'll
okay?
make a poll.
All this means is there's an, I don't know, some weird infatuation with Star Wars that I don't get.
This because you're dumb.
I don't get it.
We'll do a poll.
Go on.
All right. Next, X-Men Days of the Future Past has been confirmed to take place in the 70s.
Very nice.
Very nice.
My favorite time period.
Yes. Actually, disco not. Time.
Actually, no. I hate that time period. But it'll be fun.
What is it?
But it'll be fun.
All right.
I love the 80s. Now.
Next part. Oh, House now. Of Cards premiered on February 1st.
Talk to me about that. What's House of Cards?
House of Cards is the Netflix original series.
Starring
Kevin Spacey,
directed
my boy.
By
David Fincher.
And also has the lesser of the Mara sisters, Kate Mara.
Kate Mara.
Yes.
Yes.
The sister
yes.
of Rooney Mara.
Yes.
And she is the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
And Kate Mara is beautiful.
I think David Fincher also directed that movie as well.
Girl with the dragon tattoo?
Yeah.
Fact check on that.
I will have to do
but
that
I do know,
later.
However, that Rooney Mara was in Social Network with David mm-hmm. Fincher, who directed that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Go on.
Anyway, it's... the first big original Netflix show.
10 seconds.
It's something, something, blah, 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 changing the landscape of how we watch television, whatever.
Changing everything with blah, yeah. blah, blah. It's just
in
changing
fact,
everything.
I will be talking about this series later on during the Netflix
minutes.
Pick of the week.
Time.
So I'll
time,
elaborate then.
Time.
Hawk movie.
Time. So that was our news bit brought to you by Daniel Lee. Of Daniel Lee News,
mm-hmm.
.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk about the movies that came out this weekend.
Yes.
Actually, only one of them, because only one of them piqued our interest because it was about zombies. But
I don't
in a completely
even
different
what
way.
Else came out.
Yeah, me neither. Because it's like we see zombies and then nothing else, right? In our peripherals. It's just a big Z.
Yeah.
It's kind of true. I mean, unless it's like, you know, your favorite movie, Titanic or something, you're not going to care.
Sometimes, you know, I just have a hard time remembering lately.
Maybe you had a concussion. You've been playing in the NFL?
Ooh.
Oh, I got you there, huh? All right. So, Daniel, you saw this movie before I did.
Yes,
tell me
I did.
What you thought about Warm Bodies.
Early Bird gets the Warm Bodies.
Talk to me.
Okay. The whole movie plays out like a cute date movie. That was pretty good.
A Q-tip movie?
It's a cute date movie.
A cute date movie?
Yes. You could take your girlfriends,
I
your
did.
Boyfriends,
I did.
Your boyfriends and girlfriends at
I
the
took
same
all of them.
Time. Yep. You could bring anybody to this movie. Have a good time.
So it's one of the few zombie movies you could take your girlfriend to.
Yes.
Or your girlfriend could take you to, depending on how you look at it. Because I'm not sexist. Yes. And this movie was geared towards the female audience, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicholas Holt? Heartthrob?
Sure.
Yes, but he was also giving off a vibe like similar to like Michael Cera and Jesse Eisenberg, which was sort
not Michael.
Well, okay, Jesse Eisenberg more. Yeah, that kind of like awkward dude.
Yeah.
That awkward.
What, you think like Zombieland Jesse Eisenberg? Because I don't.
No, I mean Jesse Eisenberg in general.
I just throw that like out there the and character say no, that he I plays.
Then just say it. Just say it.
Well, I don't see that. I don't know.
Okay.
But that doesn't matter. Right. Well, it does, but you know, not for your point.
No, I thought that was like a nice like reversal because it's like a good looking guy like pretending to be like really freaking awkward around girls.
Oh, that's how you're saying it.
Yeah.
Okay, because the way I see it when you say reversal.
It's because you didn't let me finish.
I know.
You were confused.
I know, but let me finish now.
Your fault.
Let me finish cutting you off. What I mean, though, is that when you say it's a nice reversal, the way I understood it was that they did like cheap makeup on a good looking guy to kind of zombify him. But it's like a good looking guy dressing up as a zombie on Halloween.
Yeah.
He still wants to be good looking. So he's only going to kind of dress up for Halloween, you know?
And that's because of their audience. Wet hair.
But that's because of their audience.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Still not as ridiculous as Twilight, even though this was a dumb premise that that they
very simple premise
made up to be much better than its own premise.
Wait, what?
It's a dumb premise, right? They started off with a really ridiculous premise.
Yes.
A zombie boy falls in love with a human girl.
I'm ready to say but go ahead.
And then they dressed it up and then they made it work.
Yes, they did that very well.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing, though.
Yes.
And they had their goal in mind. Like, they didn't go in there thinking, oh, we're going to be super self-serious.
No.
You know, like Twilight.
No. And if you were going in there, like, for that kind of movie, then you just, like, you probably didn't see any previews or anything like that. Or even the poster. Or, why are you watching this movie?
Why are you being accusatory? You don't know.
Stop it. Don't do that.
All right, go ahead.
There are no fixed zombie roles either.
What do you mean?
There were scenes here that the zombies were actually like sniffing around to see if like the humans were there.
Yes.
And you normally don't see that in like other zombie flicks.
I think what we don't see is how they know they're there.
Yeah.
They don't show the how.
There is no exact science here.
Yeah. Well, no, that's in not most the point. In most zombie movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they could actually talk.
Yeah.
And then I know some people brought up the point that like how could they like fill up their lungs with enough air to actually vocalize what they want to say.
That's a zombie thing, period. But, how can zombies survive and eat people if nothing works? You know, just let it go.
Yeah.
Just accept it.
Rob Corddry on the money. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Best line of the movie, right?
Bees, man.
Yeah, bees, man. Yeah.
Bees. All right. So what was your take of this movie?
That's all you got?
I'll pad it out as I go along.
Okay, you're throwing me the mic here. Okay, I see what you're doing. Well, let's just say the first 5 minutes of this movie, I was in. It didn't take much. Like right when I saw the first 5 minutes, and I think they've actually released the clips before the movie came out.
Yeah,
of about the first 4 minutes, right? Yeah, that whole airport scene. And I was just in right away because of I don't know the direction that they took, which was completely different than what we always see, because you always get people wondering, what about the other side, right? So every zombie movie we've ever seen, everything we've ever read, anything just within the status quo, I guess, is that the state of zombies is that they're mindless drones that rely on, mindless carnivores that rely on human flesh.
Yeah.
Or just anything with the pulse, right? They'll just eat that. This movie takes the other side, which people have always wondered about, but they thought, oh, we can never really do a movie about that. There's no story here, which is what is the zombie thinking? You know, how are they? What is their perspective? And the only way you can do this, and I didn't think it was possible, is you make a movie that pokes fun at other zombie movies and that pokes fun at the canon, your favorite word, by doing that, by giving us that perspective.
But we also have to realize that there are no fixed zombie rules. Every movie has its own spin on like what a zombie should be like, what they're supposed to be doing.
I don't agree.
Oh, so because they should always all be uniform?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
That's precisely not what I'm saying, actually. What I'm saying, though, is that they all apply to some sort of canon, don't they? They all do. Every single one of them. At the very base, they all eat human flesh, don't they?
Yeah.
So no matter what, there's some uniformities there. And I don't just say, saying, you know, I'm not just saying, oh, they have this in common. I'm saying at their basis, they have the fundamentals down.
I'm just saying, like, some zombies run like
Kenny Sprinters. Yeah, but that's little intricacies, though.
That's why you have to give them room. I'm just saying you got to give,
when you say these fixed films, roles, that's different. That's more specific as to what the main zombie looks like, as opposed to the little intricacies of this zombie and that zombie.
Yeah. No, but what I'm arguing is that there's no point in arguing these, right? Is there?
Well, if you want to have fun, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's you could do that anytime you want. But, like, you shouldn't count that against the movie, right? For not following certain rules.
I don't know, because I count it against other movies for doing that.
Like what?
Like Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, okay. It's probably the best, like, zombie movie or top two with Zombieland of the last, you know, 15 years, 10 years. But I hate that they're super fast. Dead. You know? I hate that they're super fast. That bugs me. That bugs the crap out of me, actually.
I mean, it ups the ante as far as survivor horror goes. And
it's just unnecessary, though. I don't know. And that bugs me.
Okay.
You know? But anyway, back to the point before I was really interrupted. What I was saying.
Story of what my life.
What I was saying
getting
was that
really interrupted all
definitely,
the time.
I definitely loved that they were able to succeed in giving us that zombie perspective and make us think, even though this is really dumb, it's actually kind of working for this movie.
Yeah.
Because the way they did it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think the director is the same guy who did, what, 50-50, right?
I don't know.
I think I told you this before the movie came out because I read it on the blog of the internet somewhere. And this guy, and you know, this guy knows how to make movies. 50-50 was great, right? So even though it's this really stupid premise, a really simple premise, I should say, it definitely worked. I was hooked and I loved it. Also, we get kind of the Romeo and Juliet feel right up until the freaking balcony scene, dude.
Like, I was waiting. That was like a slap on the face right there.
I was sitting there waiting. I was like, are they really going to have the balcony scene, you know, like just in my head? And sure enough, they had the balcony scene.
I was actually.
It was great.
I saw that coming too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it coming. I was like, oh, great. What's next? The balcony scene, you know?
No, as soon as she came out into the balcony, yeah, I was like, well, yeah, well, there we go.
Well, you mean when she walked onto the balcony, you saw a balcony scene coming?
No.
That's what you just said.
You're horrible.
I'm a great man.
You're a horrible man. Oh, I also like the fact that the zombies, when they eat the brains, they could actually look into the memories of the person they ate.
Yes. Very interesting take. And
interesting
that
twist.
That goes back to our conversation, though, or our point about how they have their own perspective. And why they do these things, you know? And we've seen that from a few movies before. For instance, what was it? Was it Return of the Living Dead Part 2? The kind of hokey one in the 80s where they burn the body?
Is that the one where they try to humanize the zombie?
There were two of them like that, I think. One of them, though, was where they burned the body and then it ended up infecting everybody because of the air.
Okay.
Because of smoke.
It became airborne.
Yeah. And in that one, I think they try to talk to the zombie. And they tie it up and they're like, why do you do what you do? And he's like, the pain, you know? And they're like, why do you eat? And he's like, must have brains.
Is he talking about being burned?
They tied it up and they're like, why do you eat people? And he's like, the pain. And the pain makes it go away, you know? So we get like kind of, I guess, inchoate ideas of that. Like just, you know, it's kind of developing. But you never get like the actual perspective. So this movie actually gave us that. And that was cool because it showed us that the ultimate goal is to kind of become human again.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, he doesn't know himself. The part of it is, I guess, identity crisis.
It helps them remember things.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, remembering is, you know, that's key to being a person again.
Yeah.
You know, remembering who you are, anything like that.
So what happens at the end of this movie, Anthony?
I'm not going there.
Oh.
But what I'll also say, though, is as far as unique twists go, I love the brain eating thing. That was great. Yeah. And we also get the good thing that it did is kind of turned, made him look in the mirror a little bit. In that when he ate the brains and he saw that it was him, he saw Dave Franco's character stare at him and then get grabbed by the leg and then eaten. That made him stop eating zombie brains.
Right.
Because it scared him. He saw himself and he saw what he actually was and wanted to change, you know? And it was the, you know, the love and the looking in the mirror that were the impetus or the impeti. What is the plural of that word? For him wanting to change. Hepatitis?
Yes.
Sounds like a disease. For him wanting to change.
Uh-huh.
And I like that because it shows that, you know, you can do things against the norm
For the girl.
And I don't know the director's name, but this actor, Nicholas Holt, in this movie is an iconoclast. And that's great because he's, I don't know, it's just, it's such a good twist on an already like established
on a form. You could also say a stagnant genre.
One might, that they rely on just, you know, zombies for ratings.
Usually,
right?
I did the air quotes. A lot of zombie films or TV shows rely heavily upon the survival aspect.
They rely on the fact that there's zombies in there, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Mm. Like just a marketing ploy, period.
Yeah.
There's zombies. Yeah. People are going to watch. That's why people watch The Walking Dead. They didn't even know it's a comic, right? I didn't know it was a comic.
But the underlying thing here is the love story.
Yes.
And then eventually you get invested too much in the characters and that's what you look forward to.
Yes.
And there's a payoff.
Well, of course.
Yes.
Another thing that I did like though, was that they dabbled in a new idea for me. When they show the airport scene and they show Nicholas Holt's character, looking around, he sees his people, he sees them, blah, 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 blah. He sees them. And then he sees the bonies, right? Which are like what they turn into, right?
But like, is that what it takes for a movie like this to work? Is that there is like a third party threat that kind of scares the other two parties into joining forces?
That's a conversation for another time. I think these guys could have been
episode
the threat.
Episode 13.
I think these guys could have been the threat. I don't know that matters so much.
Okay.
And you're kind of sidetracking here. My point though was that these bonies that they see, mm-hmm. or that Nicholas Holt's character sees, he sees that that's what he will probably become one day.
Yeah.
So there's, I guess, really in a way to answer your question, that they don't like those things with the bonies, might also serve as their purpose in wanting to change as well, because they don't want to become that, you know, mm-hmm. but that's not my point. That's a good point, but that's not my point. It's that the zombie itself.
So the zombie state itself is sort of like a purgatory state.
Almost. It's like
trapped.
Like an inchoate state where you are not fully developed.
You're still conscious.
Yeah. Because that's what they give us in this movie, mm-hmm. in that these guys can go one way or the other. And really all they needed was love, right? It's that simple. it's like an episode of
Love Cures
Sesame
All.
Street or something. You know, all they needed was love.
Love cures zombification.
It's crazy. I mean, it's
if
crazy
Rick
how simple
only knew.
How simple and how dumb this idea is, but how well they did it.
Yeah.
And how original too. Because it's really an old story, just
all
in a different setting.
All it takes is a Teresa Palmer.
Yeah. But anyway, like I was saying, these guys are not fully developed yet. And I like that because there's something worse than them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't usually see that. So what we usually see is that we're either humans or we're zombies. One or the other, right? This gives us a third element. And in that third element, we see that the zombies are actually, like you said, in purgatory, the thing in between.
Yes.
But still, you know, I guess it's deeper than that.
But which one's heaven and which one's hell?
Good one.
Oh, philosophical.
Yeah, but I just like that they weren't completely developed and that mm-hmm. they could actually turn into that. By the way, your timer turned off, Laren.
I want to see a film where they show it
film?
From the bonies aspect.
We can go from the, we can just keep going.
Warm bodies too.
That's the case. We can see it
from
the
rat. Oh, wait, no, they
the
were all eradicated.
Inside
no.
The,
there's no chance
eradicated?
For a sequel.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember
anyway.
With the wall?
Yeah, I saw
the
I
wall
saw
comes
it.
Down.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Berlin Wall coming down.
Yeah.
Huh. They should have filmed this movie in 1980. And
symbolism.
Showed it in East and West Germany.
Choke us with symbolism.
They did.
Yes.
Yeah. And
chock full of it.
And I guess allusions to literary works, right? Mostly.
Yeah. Romeo and
William
Juliet.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
William. Yeah. So
William was well represented here.
Okay.
He would be rolling in his grave.
Good one. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
No. Because
that's if they didn't represent him well.
I know, right? That's so weird. God.
Okay. You have anything else to say on this movie? What do you rank it? That's mine, dude. What do you rank it?
What do you mean, where do I rank it?
Zombie movies, last 10 years. And can we actually call it a zombie movie? Can we? I do.
I'd still rank it lower than Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'd put this higher than Shaun of the Dead.
Well, it's just the type of person you are. And the type of person I am.
What's
loves
the
Shaun of the Dead.
Well, I love, what's his name?
That's our difference.
Not,
I love Shaun of the
I don't
Dead
love Edgar Wright,
more
but I love
than Warm Bodies.
What's his name?
Simon
Pegg. Yeah, I love Simon Pegg. But
I like Nick Frost more.
I just didn't. Who is that? The
Ed? Fat guy.
Is that Ed? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I just thought that movie was actually really depressing when it was billed as a comedy, and that I didn't like that.
And then it actually got really serious at the end.
It got super dark. Yeah, like I didn't like that. Like just bill me for what you are.
I thought when it got really tense, it pulled off that intensity much better than a lot of the other zombie flicks.
You think because of the humor, it was able to turn it more and make you feel it more?
Maybe because I do care about the characters more here, since they actually made you care about the characters also.
Here? What do you mean here?
Be specific. In Shaun of the Dead.
They made you care about the characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But
they were likable.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. Yeah. What was that, 04?
Something like that. It was like millions of years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, almost. Yeah.
That's about a million.
But actually, Dawn of the Dead was almost 10 years ago, too. That was also 2004.
That's also one of my top picks.
Okay, well, give me your top five, last 10 years.
Dawn of the Dead first?
Is that first? Or is that fourth or fifth?
So, Dawn of the Dead at the top. Ooh.
You're going 1 to 5?
Shaun of the Dead.
I think I would put Zombieland above.
Zombieland.
I would put Zombieland above both of those.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your top?
Out of the last 10 years, probably.
Top one?
Yeah. I mean, we've never seen like a great zombie movie, right?
And then 28 Days Later.
Oh, God. What were those zombies? You know, that begs the question. Should we count these? Should we not count them? I don't know.
So you would still count a zombie movie even if it bends the genre, but you would discount 28 Days Later because of how...
Well, because they're not zombies, because they don't eat you. That's the difference. Like, you have to eat something to be a zombie, don't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those guys don't eat you.
This goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, like, there being, like, fixed rules. And then me, personally, I think you could just, like, bend it a little bit.
But they're not zombies at that point.
But it's...
You have... No, because you have...
I think you could still include it in the genre.
You say bend... No, because you say bending, but you have to have, like, a standard that they all have to adhere to.
So,
and if they don't adhere to that, we can't call them zombies. What's this? You got to say...
28 Days Later.
28 Days Later. When I call it a horror film? Sure. Yeah.
Is that survival it? Horror? That's as specific as it gets?
No. Well, that's reductive. I'm not just going to say, oh, it's just a horror film, nothing more. Because it's very much like Lord of the Flies to me.
Then,
That's what I thought when I watched that movie. I thought Lord of the Flies completely. When civilization breaks down.
Yeah, but like it draws so much from like the zombie genre also.
But that doesn't make it a zombie movie. Was I Am Legend a zombie movie?
No, that was a vampire movie, you idiot.
Really? Because a lot of people out there still think it's a zombie movie.
Because they're all
idiots. And
it
also draws from the zombie idea. The movie, I mean, not the book. The movie draws from that. So that's not fair because you have to have a standard. If you don't eat people or things, you're not a zombie.
But they're...
If you just live to make other things infected, that is, you're not a zombie. You're not.
So I can't include this on my top five.
This one?
Yeah.
Sure you can.
Okay.
Absolutely you can. What the heck? We're talking about 28 Days Later, though.
No, that's what I mean. 28 Days Later. Can I include that in top 5?
You say this. This means Warm Bodies because that's our subject at hand. This, you need to give me something better.
I'm talking about the current thing that we're discussing.
Oh, my God. All right. Be specific with your nouns, okay?
You be specific about what I'm talking about.
I would if you
could. Pick up on it.
If you could, I would.
Pick up on it through the context.
Tell me. So you're including it in your top 5? You can't. I don't think you can. I really don't think you can. Turn that off. You can't. How can this be? It's not a zombie movie if they don't eat people. Those aren't zombies. You're just sitting there in silence. You don't have any response for that one. You don't. Right?
Fine.
It's not a zombie movie.
It's off.
So then give me your top five. Then give me your top five.
What did I say? Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, Land of...
Don't say Land of the Dead. Please do not say Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead.
Oh my God. Land of the Dead. Is this despite me? Because I didn't let you put 28 Days Later?
No, it's not despite you.
All right.
But yes, it is despite you.
But yes, it is. By the way, I love 28 Days Later, but it's not a zombie movie.
According to you.
It's not a zombie movie.
According to Jim.
According.
All right. Yes. So what's your top five? I can't pick a last one.
I think my favorite would probably be Zombieland.
Okay.
Second favorite, maybe, this is the last 10 years, right? Last 12 years. All right. Second favorite would...
Okay, we could play with 12 years.
Well, I don't know.
Give or take.
I don't know if there's anything else that came out around that time. But I would say that I did very much like Dawn of the Dead, despite the fast zombies and how they kind of changed that. I don't like that. I'm a purist.
I just felt that it made things so much more intense. It was just off the wall craziness.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the aspect of that movie that I really enjoyed.
I don't like that, though.
I mean, it's really not fair that they're just like gunning at you. But
it's stupid, yeah.
because this is in movie form, I could accept it. I'm like, oh man, these guys are just screwed.
What I will say though, before I finish, or even if I don't finish my rankings, is that Warm Bodies could change everything. It could be another one of those movies that changes how you see zombies. I really think that.
Okay. Just as long as it's not another
story. It's probably third or fourth. It's probably third or fourth on my list.
I mean, as good as it was, I think I'm spent on the zombie love story idea now.
There's only been one.
Exactly.
You're spent already?
That's all you need.
Just throw a little pepper in there?
Everything else would just be a copy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So give me another kind of spin, taking zombie genre to another level.
Fair enough. All right, Laren, bring us that timer. We're done with Warm Bodies, guys. Hope that was enough for you. Let's move on to the third episode.
I am very full on this conversation.
Good one. The third episode of The Following, which was yesterday.
Oh, yes.
We talked a little via text message about how campy the dialogue was.
Oh, God.
And
the pilot was a mess of...
Almost unbearable as far as the dialogue goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because of the type of show this is, you know, it's like a forensic show that is chasing after a mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, no longer chasing him, but now they're chasing his minions.
Killer. Yeah.
But yes, because what it handles, you kind of expect it, the dialogues to be more...
Yeah, I understand. Because it's like a smart premise.
Yeah.
As far as... or like the villain is smart. Mm-hmm. So the people who catch him should be smart.
Yeah.
So the way they talk should be smarter than that.
Honestly, he probably has the best dialogues in the entire show.
Yeah, dialogues is not
the main villain, basically.
Purifoy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what I liked about this third episode, though, is there was some criticism. There was some criticism about how this character or this show just tells you that Purifoy is charming and they don't actually show you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, okay, maybe they're right. Like,
my God, you got to see him when he's lecturing these kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see him and you're like, yeah, that's pretty good. Right. But
I mean, he's English.
I don't know if that would that's brainwash me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I understood that. However, yesterday's episode, I felt the charm when he was talking in the flashback.
To Kevin Bacon?
To Ryan Hardy's character in the flashback. Okay. Yeah. I felt the charm there.
Yeah.
So I will say that it did a good job of kind of deflecting that in the third episode and showing us a little bit of that serial killer charm. That killer charm that Joe had. So that's what I'll say. As far as the dialogue goes, I was right there with you.
Yeah.
They had a great line yesterday where the girl's really upset. Ryan Hardy, who is Kevin Bacon, came to console her. And she's like, I'm mad. That's great writing.
I mean, like, since the pilot, it kind of picked up.
It did, yeah.
They're cleaning up their writing a lot more. But
well, it's already
still,
done, though, you know?
It's still kind of like a lot of cheese ball, you know what I mean? There.
Shows, they got 14 episodes done, it's done.
Yeah.
It's not like they go back and change anything.
No, but like, obviously the pilot was shot before, like, they got the green light to continue and develop the rest of the 14 episodes, right?
I don't know. No, I think they just have 14 flat. I'm pretty sure they're already done. They're showing no breaks, you know?
Because, like, the pilot is...
You're saying they went in order?
Because it is a pilot that, you know, it was first shot, you know, probably a few months before they got the green light to shoot the rest of the series.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
So you kind of see like the quality kind of pick up since the pilot.
Yeah, I felt this
which I had
the best.
A lot of problem with.
Yeah.
And I still sort of have a problem
but
with it.
But it's a pilot.
But
know?
It's bearable.
It's a pilot.
Yes.
You don't judge shows by their pilots. If we did, Community would not be around. You know, who knows if The Office would still be around.
Community pilot episode was a lot better written.
Community
I'll just go on the record.
I don't know.
It was pretty good.
I don't agree. I watched that live when it first came out and I don't agree. Like I was struggling to keep watching it.
Go back to watching it.
There was one funny episode. And it was when Abed was like, wait, why is nobody talking? Am I going deaf? That's the only funny part in that episode.
Okay.
And I stand by that. And I love that show.
Okay.
Which comes back, by the way, February
7th. But regardless of that show, it's become more bearable. It's just still not up to par with what I expect from that show in terms of the dialogue.
It's not a show about dialogue, though.
I know,
the kind
but
of show
like...
It is. You're nitpicking here.
But I can't be, like, biting down on my lip every time I, like, hear them speak.
We could say that about The Walking Dead.
Okay,
terrible dialogue in The Walking Dead. Terrible.
But they're not, like, these forensics guys or, like, these top CIA or FBI guys.
No, but The
guys.
Walking Dead tries
they're
to handle
just, like,
these complex ideas, though.
They're simple
they're not,
folk.
That's insulting, for starters. They could be simple folk, okay? Could be. Not all of them are. All right.
Good country fun.
But it doesn't matter. Like, regardless, they try to handle these, you know, complex ideas, these complex philosophies and in The Walking Dead, complex moralities, and they couldn't do it.
But they still come from...
They couldn't do it. They couldn't. So it failed.
But
on
the
that
people
aspect.
That they
so it's unfair to say that. And also, I mean, you know, yeah, they're FBI guys, but that doesn't mean they're super smart. They're not like, you know, English lit majors or English lit professors like Purifoy. His character, Joe.
I still expect more from them.
Well, that's your standard.
Yes. Live up to my standard. That's all I ask.
Well, they can't change it now. So these next 11 episodes will tell you whether or not they do.
Yes. And I was also thinking about this while watching the show. They got a little group going on right now, right? Like
the actual following.
There's
the serial killer?
Five or six guys in it.
We don't know how many people there are in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's what got me thinking. I'm wondering if there's another like whole new group that he's developed that the other group doesn't know about, who is just waiting on their order.
Or
waiting on his order.
I'll tell you what, now that you mention that, if not, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, because like this it started off with a really great premise, right?
Yeah.
And what I expected to do is to make it so like the audience don't even know who they're supposed to trust in the series. And in order to do that, they have to make the scope even bigger than what it is right now.
They might have to. There is a problem with that, though, in that they'll never solve this. They could extend it forever.
Yeah.
By just doing that.
Oh.
And then it'll reach the realm of unfeasible. Implausible.
But like in the beginning of the series, they talked about like around like 40 something people coming to see him, or did I get that wrong?
40? I don't remember that.
They said
I missed that detail.
Around 40 people came to visit him while he was in jail because they were his fans.
Yeah.
And I don't think he could extend out of the 40 people that he talked to. So there is a limit to how many people.
Well, they also had the internet websites that he was using. So you don't know.
Do you think he could actually make people do his biddings by just talking to them on the internet?
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Great segue for a topic you didn't even know was coming. I did like that one thing this show has a problem or that is a problem in this show is there's no reason behind why these people follow him, right?
No.
It's supposed to be because he's charming and stuff like that. But really, if you think about it in real life, is there a reason why people follow serial killers? Is there a reason why you and I can understand though? Like, would any logical person, would any sane person do that?
There are some people who are just waiting for something messed up to happen so they could also do those same type of messed up things.
Okay, but you're not answering the question though. Like you're explaining away, but that doesn't actually answer my question of, is there a real reason? Like would any sane person do that?
No.
By
definition, a sane person would not do that.
So what does it matter then if these people are following him, even if it's just because of one little thing that he did?
Yeah.
They're insane. Those three people in the cabin or in that house, they're insane. We can't trust them.
But like on the internet, though, there is also the problem of anonymity.
Anonymity.
Like he could just tell them that he is, what's his name on the show?
Joe something.
That he's the guy. But like, you know, like my times on the internet, I felt a lot of people were very skeptical about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So why would,
well, that depends
what
on where you
do
go.
They have to
that
believe
depends
them?
On where you go. I mean, you can find a forum for
chat
anything
roulette?
You want. No, seriously, you can find
chat roulette.
You can find a forum for anything you want. Any which way people think, you can find a forum for that.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's not a fair
criticism.
So it's
any excuse to just go off the wall.
This is what it's telling you. People are crazy.
Yeah.
People will do anything. That's in my opinion, that's the underlying assumption of the show.
Okay,
If you don't accept that, you won't accept the show.
I could get behind
But regardless, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Like regardless. Like I'm not saying this because I like the show or because I accept that, but people are crazy, dude. Like seriously.
People will just find any excuse to finally, you know, do what they want to do.
More or less.
More or less.
Another thing I wanted to say before we moved on. I like that the two characters who pretended to be gay, the show is very progressive in that it shows actually like some affection between them, which
some affection,
kind of progressive, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's with the times, right? It's a zeitgeist. Also though, I like that when we felt bad for one of them, he goes and does something to remind us that he's still a killer. You know what I mean? With that Torres character.
Mm.
You watched yesterday's episode?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's good because it brings you back to reality. Like, oh, wait, this guy's a killer. Why am I feeling bad for this guy? You know, just because he's the third wheel in the little love triangle going on.
Yeah.
Right. So I like that.
And even though he's the husband, he's the one out. He's the one outside looking in.
Yeah.
Into this relationship. One thing I wanted to point out, that Edgar Allan Poe mask, didn't it just scream Ron Jeremy to you?
No, God, I don't know who Ron Jeremy is. Okay. I'm a Christian man. I don't know who Ron Jeremy is. I know who Mario is.
You should go to church sometime.
I know who Mario is. All right. Also, one last thing I'll point out before we run out of time is that I liked that this show has gay villains, because we never see like bad guys that are gay in shows, because it's such a hot topic that they don't want to offend that.
You should have seen Skyfall.
They don't want to offend them. Really? Mm-hmm. Was Javier Bardem?
Had a pretty...
Well, this is television, completely different.
He had a vibe going on.
Okay, well, this is television, completely different. And even if he had a vibe, I mean, are they outright stating
really?
That he
was? Is this the first gay villain we've had?
Kind of is. I mean, rack your brain, come back to me next week because we're out of time.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that.
Yeah, but high five.
I don't think...
High five on episode three.
I'll high five the following, but I'll have to go back to that.
High five for being progressive.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on because one of our favorite shows, even though it's not that good, it's coming back on Sunday. The Walking Dead.
It's been kind of good this season.
This
as far as the pacing and
but
the
when
action
you qualify
goes,
it like that, I mean, this season, I mean, come on.
Well, no? Because I'm never going to be able to make you agree with me on second season.
Because
it
was
terrible.
I love
the second season, by the way.
Terrible. I keep, as much as you love
Zombie
it.
Zombie Farmville.
I have to, Zombie Farmville. As much as you love the second season, like I have to increase my hate for it every time you mention how much you love it. Just to offset you.
You're a weird. Okay?
To offset you because it was not that good. It was not that good. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Crazy.
Okay. But go ahead. What do you have to talk about? I mean, I know you're excited about this coming back. I'm excited. My Sunday's going to be important again. They're going to be filled with zombie blood.
Did you see the TV spots on Super Bowl?
No.
No, you haven't?
No.
Oh, there was a really good one with Daryl.
I saw.
All right.
I saw that. I like.
Anyway, yeah. Like speaking of Daryl and Merle are in trouble right now. And it looks like they're going to force the brothers to duke it up. I say...
Well, talk about before you go on, talk a little about the last episode of the winter break that we had and the kind of transformation or the evolution of the governor to his cell perfect form, I guess.
This is what you pointed out earlier. Now, like his insides are being projected on his outer appearance.
Mm, like Dorian Gray?
Yeah.
Except on the painting?
Yeah. Now that he's got his eye taken away and his daughter has been hacked.
Yeah. His last link to humanity is gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now, like, you don't even know what he's going to do next.
I feel like that's the talking point for this whole second half of the season, though. I mean, the thing that I will applaud The Walking Dead on for the third season is that they're not going to drag out this prison versus Woodbury element as much as they did the Shane versus Rick element.
Honestly.
And that this pacing in the third season is moving along so swiftly.
I feel like they're going to end this on the season finale.
They could end this in the 13th episode, and I wouldn't be surprised the way they're going.
Jesus Christ.
Because they're already building up to that and showing a snippet to that, and we're barely on episode 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You know? And that's crazy.
Yeah. I thought it would go for like another season.
Yeah,
like this tension between the governor and Rick.
Same here. Judging by the way the second season finished, I would say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Just because of like you mentioned how long that took.
Work. Yeah.
But we also know that like the showrunner is being changed after this season.
Uh-huh.
So who knows if like the pacing will continue on or if they're going to slow it down again.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, like AMC and Glenn Mazzara had a different opinion on where the show should be going. AMC very well maybe trying to drag it down so they could continue to, you know, just put out more seasons.
Okay.
So
that's why you think they got rid of him, or is that what they said? Or
I have no idea. I have no idea. Yeah, like, you know, it was polite. It was a polite parting. Uh-huh. He said, you know, we just couldn't agree on the direction of this series. So, you know, I said I'll just leave. There was no mess at the end, but you know, people are going to talk because AMC has had history of not agreeing with the creators.
Yeah.
And this is what makes me this is what kind of scares me is the fact that they might be going that
so
direction.
That whole two steps forward, you know, three steps backwards,
bogging it back down.
Yeah.
Although, even though as much as I like the second season, I really dug the pacing of the third season.
Yeah, I think they're kind of relying on what we talked about earlier when we discussed Warm Bodies, which was the fact that at the end of the day, there's still zombies, so it's going to sell because zombies are still at their high point right now, just like comic book movies, just at their high point right now, like everything nerdy, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
At its high point right now, at its zenith. So they're going to capitalize
on it. A nation of nerds.
It doesn't even have to be good and it's going to sell. It's going to get ratings.
Yes.
Right? Because like with the second season we saw, it didn't have to be good, but it still got ratings.
All they have to do is just throw in a huge zombie spectacle.
Oh, and they're giving you zombie deaths.
Once every three or four episodes.
Definitely giving you zombie deaths in this season, which we didn't see enough of.
Like 20 zombie deaths every episode.
It's pretty, yeah, it's a staggering amount.
Yes.
One thing I want to talk about, though, and I mentioned this with my dad. I don't remember if I mentioned this with you on the previous episodes of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think I might have. I don't know if I'm actually playing devil's advocate here or if I actually believe this. I'm kind of in between.
Oh, sometimes you just get lost in playing that devil's advocate. But you can't tell reality from your
own. Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
Opinions.
But no, seriously, like I'm wondering at what point is Rick any different from the governor?
Oh, this is a whole different talk.
This is a whole different talk? Okay, good. Well, we got
well,
5 minutes to talk about
it. Well, because we did talk about the Shane
right? And what Shane would have done.
The parallels between Shane and, you know, Rick.
True.
But we've never talked about if they're becoming similar right now, the governor and Rick.
And my real question to you, though, I think at its basest level is what do you value more? Because if you would rather be in Rick's camp or in Woodbury, the question comes down to what do you value more? You know, is it transparency, which we get in Rick's group? Or is it safety, which we get in the Woodbury's group? Because at the end of the day, being in Woodbury is not a bad place to be. Am I right?
No. Honestly, like you kind of sit on it for a while and you just can't help but agree with Andrea, even though we don't like her. That like you will try to think of ways to continue to stay in that spot. You will like lie to yourself to stay in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Not us per se, because we are on the outside looking in, and this is escapist television for us.
Yeah.
But as far as if you transplant yourself in this world, why would you want to leave when you know when you know what's out there?
No.
Why would you want to leave? Right. Why would you want to leave the walls of Woodbury? You
exactly.
Wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't.
And even though you have that transparency in Rick's group, there's always that struggle that the group is always fighting over something within that group.
Because nothing's perfect.
Yeah. So.
So, I mean, yeah, while we get a lot of.
A lot of honesty, but you get a lot of.
Yeah, it's tougher. Let's just say it's tougher to live in Rick's group than it is in the governor's. So, I mean, really, would you oblige someone saying, oh, I'm gonna go live in Woodbury? And, or, I mean, not even just we live in Woodbury, but would you be on the side of the governor? Because if we're watching this movie from a different lens or this show from a different lens and we see it from the eyes of the governor and his people, isn't Rick the bad guy?
For sure. Yeah. He came and tried to ruin their way of life by trying to rescue Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, no party's completely innocent here, right?
Yeah.
Like no party's completely innocent. But like really... I mean, I have a point here. Am I right? Like,
yeah, you do.
As far as the competing claims of the good, we have different opinions on which one is right.
Not to say like Rick was wrong for doing what he did, since he could only see them as an enemy because they took his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like if it were up to like us in this situation as well, we'd probably do the same thing to try and rescue them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'd be gunning down a lot of people who had nothing to do with this struggle that you're in.
Just casualties.
Yeah.
Casualties of war.
But yeah, just like, I hate to bring this up, but it's kind of like Zero Dark Thirty, where like both sides can come away from this clean.
Yeah. Well, as far as this discussion goes on that, I mean, we've seen Rick do some pretty bad things just to keep his people alive, right?
Yeah.
And as far as we can tell.
Bordering that Shane mentality.
Yeah. And as far as we can tell, I mean, everything the governor's done is to make sure one, he stays in power, and two, his people are safe.
I guess the biggest difference between the two is that Rick is a reluctant leader, and the governor wants the power.
Okay.
And I think that's what's shaping their philosophy.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I can see because I mean there are aspects of him being the reluctant leader, but I mean he kind of just took over though when he got there.
Because I think he felt he had to if people were to trust him to lead them.
We might have to debate that for another time. Okay. I don't know if I
agree. Episode 14.
I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure if I... You just found out our next three episodes. Yeah. I'm not sure if I agree with that because, like, honestly, right when he got there, he started telling people what to do. And the only thing that we see, the only stuff that we see that kind of supports your position is that he always feels that heavy lies the crown kind of mentality in that Carl is consoling him, people are consoling him, well, why don't you just give up the power, Dad? Stuff like that.
Oh, in fact, if you see a lot of the teasers that are coming out right now, Carl is questioning his dad quite a bit for a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's not. A
I like
kid.
That he's stepping up.
Yeah,
he's like, he's Dad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Seriously, you want me to take over?
Well,
I like to see Carl in position of power.
Nah, I have no desire.
Season 4.
I have no desire for that.
New approach, new direction. Kid friendly, The Walking Dead
Carl's
series.
Great.
Carl. The leader.
Carl's great. I have no desire for that. And this concludes our Walking Dead time.
Okay.
Coming back.
Right on time.
Coming back on Sunday, 6 or 7 o'clock. One of the two. I don't know. I always DVR it.
Sunday. Check your local listings.
AMC.
AMC.
Yes. See you then. Also catching for talk or stay tuned for Talking Dead, which airs right after. Sometimes they have funny guests and good guests. Most
Hardwick.
Times, though, the people that are insiders on the show don't actually reveal anything. So just watch it for a clip of next week's episode.
I think Glenn is coming out on the first one.
Cool.
Or something like that.
Was it Steve Yeun?
Out of the grapevines, I heard something.
Steve Yeun? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that concludes our talk. So let's move on now to the last segment of our show, which is the Netflix pick of the week.
Hey, guys. It's that time again. Yep. You guessed it. It's the Netflix pick of the week. Netflix pick of the week, where your two favorite hosts pick the favorite shows and movies.
Okay.
What's your Netflix pick of the week, Daniel?
I can't go with anything but House of Cards.
Oh, man, you're all in, huh?
House of Cards. What more do
Give
I need to say?
Give me 52 reasons why. Give me 52 reasons.
Kevin Spacey, you want me to keep going?
That's your ace of
Kevin
spades.
Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey.
Ace of spades.
David Fincher. Kevin Spacey.
Space of spades.
Kevin Spacey.
Nice.
The man is
shine bright like a,
ridiculous.
Shines bright like a diamond.
The man is ridiculous. I love him. I love him. Just watch it for his performance alone.
Yeah, I'm not against the show at all.
You are set.
Just, you know.
You are set.
Set.
It also happens to be a BBC adaptation, which is interesting. I might check that out also. But this show is great.
Why?
Kevin Spacey's
I have no reason
performance.
To watch it. But what is he? A vagabond?
Oh, he is a House Majority Leader who
yeah,
was...
Sure.
Yes,
he's not a dealer at a
sure.
casino?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, go on.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, go on.
It has
don't.
Nothing to do with cards or gambling.
All right.
Despite its...
I'm out then.
The title.
I'm out on it. That's all I care about.
But there are zombies that fall in love.
Okay, I'm back in. You reeled me back in.
Beyonce. Beyonce.
Go on.
Kobe Bryant. Kevin Spacey.
That all appeals to me, but what about everybody else?
I don't know. I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, but for them, for our people.
All right, so he's the House Majority Leader. He got the next president voted in, and then he also helped certain cabinet members get voted in as well.
So
he was waiting to become the next Secretary of State, but that didn't happen because the president and the other people told him that they needed him in the Congress.
Okay.
So, you know, he's brimming with a lot of anger,
mm-hmm.
but he takes it in, but he's also like, I'm not going to let anybody else that I don't care for become the Secretary of State. So he starts pulling all these...
His face is flushed with anger. There you go.
Yes. And then so he starts pulling all these strings behind the scenes because, you know, that's how a lot of political dramas go.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of backstabbings. There are a lot of
that's
sleeping with
is,
other people's wives.
That's,
yes.
It's a political drama? Okay.
With Kevin Spacey. That's all you really need. What more do I need
Not
to
lately,
say?
Not lately, though. I mean,
what more do I need? David Fincher.
Like, you know, Kevin Spacey, like 95 through 2004, maybe.
He's never gone anywhere. he's still here. Yeah, he's but still
his performances,
with us.
He's kind of milled in his performances since then, I think.
He is Capex. Magnificent. Capex was a great movie.
He's been phoning it in for a while. Let's just say that's a great
You're
on
a
that
phony.
One. I didn't say he was a phony, okay?
I don't care. You know? You're a phony.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the show yet. It barely came out this weekend. They released every single episode. Was it 14, 15 episodes? Something like that? 13 episodes?
No, 13.
13 episodes?
All
great.
13. They're waiting for you on 13, Netflix.
Multiply that by 4 and you get 52.
House of Cards.
Check my math. That's right.
House
right?
of Cards. Yes.
26 times.
Yes.
Ooh, look Ooh. At that. Okay,
In
perfect.
4 seasons, you get what you want.
I'm all in. All right. My Netflix pick of the week is The Faculty.
Ah.
I first saw this movie in 1999 on New Year's Eve. It was, I think it was 98 New Year's Eve, sorry. Old Robert Rodriguez film that features a young Elijah Wood, who later
yes.
came around to be Frodo.
Yes.
Frodo Baggins. And and the guy Zeke, who plays, Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
So the beginning of his career, kind of, yeah.
Or Zach?
No, it's Zeke.
It was Zeke.
And the beginning of his career, kind of. Mm-hmm. And an aging Robert Patrick post T2.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I love this movie. It's about...
As a football coach.
It's a sci-fi movie. So this here rebukes your argument that I'm more of a fantasy guy than a sci-fi guy because I absolutely love this movie.
But this is more grounded
blah,
and
blah,
modern.
Blah. I loved this movie because...
Setting.
Because high school shows or high school movies where they battle real world things or supernatural things are always fun because there's no limits.
Yeah.
You know, there's no limits in that, you know. We can, I guess, relate to them more than we can to a 35-year-old man with a family because we're kind of in the middle right now.
What are you trying to say about Kevin Spacey?
Oh, he's like 58, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not saying anything about. I'm not saying anything about him. By the way, John Stewart was in this movie too. He was a scientist. He was a science teacher.
John Stewart.
Anyway, it's a movie about parasites or aliens that come to
yes.
this small town in Ohio.
Yes.
And. Take it over slowly but surely. And there's only a small group of people who actually know what's going on. And they got to band together all these different people. It's like, think of it like a breakfast club, uh-huh. but survival. All right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. They get all these issues that's going on.
And then you
on.
Get every person from every clique.
Yeah. Yeah. Clique. Yeah. Whatever that is. And then we get the cool music that they have. What's that song from the 80s?
Blink
we don't need
82?
No AG. No, that's mid-90s. Late 90s. We don't need no education. Who sang that song? The Wall? The Wall? It was on The Wall, right? Who was that?
I'm
70
not
song?
Very...
70 song. I don't
I'm
know.
Not
either way.
Versed in classic
either way,
rock.
This movie is a masterpiece. I love it. Watch it. It's on right now. It's only about an hour and 35, 45 minutes. I don't know. Not that long. Not that long. So give it
You know
give
what
it a
I
go.
Really liked about this movie?
The Faculty?
Is the twist at the end.
Yeah.
It is so cheeseball.
Solid twist.
It is so cheeseball.
Solid twist.
I love it.
Love this movie. It knows what it is. It does it well.
Yep. No, yeah. It doesn't try to be like smarter than you are.
Nope.
It's just like, bam, we're going to give you something really, really dumb and you're going to really, really like it.
Yep. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us, right?
Yes.
All right. Once again, this is Anthony Barola. You can follow me at Epic Mess on Twitter.
And this is Daniel Lee. You should not follow Epic Mess.
And?
We're out.
No, that's not what we're doing.
What?
Where are we following you at again?
Oh, you could follow me at Zombeef, Zon.
Yeah, let me do the we're out thing, okay?
_
That's my job.
Follow me.
That's my job. It's been fun. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. And we out.